Here we go again. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Knee on Belly podcast. We are your hosts, Nate.
It's John.
And Brandino.
And today we have a special guest with us. He is our friend, our training partner. He is a Gaha Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. He is an undefeated mixed martial artist with a record of 4 wins and count them up, 0 losses.
Zero.
He is the number one ranked lightweight amateur in the state of Indiana.
Talk that big dog talk.
He is Nick. Wrong button.
Nick wrong button Fox.
Red Fox.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, Foxy?
Feeling like a villain.
Glad to have you here, bro. Appreciate you coming through.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I know it took.
Make sure the weather was good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just waiting for good weather.
Show the guns out today. Should,
yeah.
Well, they're put up right now. But
yeah, we just finished a seminar. I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of tired. I'm a little tired. But we sat in the sauna for like 30 minutes afterwards too, so
I thought about it, but I was like, no, I'm gonna run later tonight when it's cold.
It was it was us, Schaefer, and Kyle. So there was 4 of us in that small sauna.
And like Keegan and Jacob both walked by and they're like,
nah.
Steph Keegan in there with you guys.
Yeah. So but I love Clearman seminars. I think every time he does just a really good job. Mm-hmm. I always pay for
really
his
good seminar. Teacher.
Yeah. He's just so crazy the knowledge that he has. It's
was it a gi seminar?
Yeah. He did open guard stuff and then Luke chokes. Which
he's got a nasty loop.
His
loop
chokes are
nasty. Awesome.
So next time we roll,
bring it.
Watch out.
Yeah. These are rough on the beard too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
people start digging into the beard.
Oh, for me it's just that back of the neck when some of those things like
Oh yeah. It sucks. Well, Foxy, you got a fight coming up. Is it April 10th. What's the guy's name?
Joshua Clark.
What's his record?
Five and one.
Okay. So we'll kind of get to that here in a little bit because we definitely want to ask you about the fight. But I think let's just start. So I was there and Brandon was there the very first day you walked into Gaha. And
we're talking Phillips, right?
Phillips Street Gym. Sir. I don't know if you were there that day.
I wasn't there that day, but I know I was there one of the days because Jacob did his favorite, get Big John off you. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't even really know this kid. I'm laying
he
on
always
him.
Always says that too.
So I just be like, all right, man, sorry, this is going to suck.
Yeah, sorry, man. So when you came in, what did you weigh?
I'm going to say about, well, I was cutting from, I started off at 265.
That's what I thought.
Mm. And then when I started jiu-jitsu, I was about 240, 235.
Yeah, so you walked in at 265 pounds, and now you're the number one ranked 155-pound amateur. Like, it's just crazy to me, like, because when I think of you, I mean, I think, you know, you're just purely just one of the hardest workers we have.
Appreciate
and so,
that.
Like, every pound of that, I mean, you just 1,000% earned.
I lost it all in a year, too.
I was going to say, it seems like it happened like that.
Mm-hmm. It was fast. It was like one moment, I had like 4 different type of versions of me, too.
Yeah.
Like, I got pictures of it. There was one person at like 220 pounds. That was like at my first fight, too.
Yeah.
I looked different. And then when I was cutting down from that, I looked different at 182 than I do now when I get up to like 182.
Yeah.
And then I got to 170, and I look different then now at 155, I have a 6-pack.
Yeah.
And it's rocking.
You lost a person.
It's crazy.
You might, dude. You could add another win to your.
Another
dubs.
Another body.
A body to this guy, too.
Yeah.
Fat and, Fox.
And I hate myself.
Yeah.
So when you came in that day, did you come in knowing with the intentions that you wanted to fight? Like, is that a reason you came to Gaha, or was it just, you were just looking to get in shape, you just wanted to try jiu-jitsu, because you came with Kier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I came, Jacob was bothering me one day at the gym. He originally asked me to be an assistant coach at Taylor High School for the wrestling team.
Okay.
So I was like, I really can't coach against Kokomo, so I'm going to go ahead and decline it, blah, blah, blah. I have other things I have to do.
Right.
And then me and Jabin were working out in the Y. And I was still, like, trying to lose the weight, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He said, you guys just come try jiu-jitsu? And I was like, nah, that sounds like it's for girls. Like, in movies and stuff, I thought it was all girl stuff. So I was like, bro, I'm really cool for that because that's some soft stuff.
Yeah.
I did wrestling. I thought wrestling was the hardest sport. And then he was like, you should just come try it out. And I was like, I'm going to come try it out, give it a try. Came in, liked it a lot. And then he's like, you ever thought about fighting? I like to fight a lot. So I was like, really? Yeah. So might as well. And then he put me in a fight.
Yeah. So like when you were growing up, were you like fighting a lot? Just like getting into fights?
I'm a really nice person. So I don't. Yeah.
Were you just more willing to fight than you were an actual fighter?
I was whole willing to fight. Yeah. Like 100%.
You choose violence if it's an option.
Yes. Like I'll go there if I have to go there, but I choose not to go there. Because I feel bad. Like I fought one kid one time. He called my girlfriend the B word. And she wasn't even there. That's when.
How old were you?
It was in high school. It was my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And he was 6 foot, and I'm 160 pounds. You know, I'm 5'7".
Yeah.
You know, get that right. 5'7".
And a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's about 6'2", 6'3". He's a giant. Yeah. He calls my girl a B-word, and she's not even there. I was like, bro, don't do that.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend's sitting right there, and she's in my criminal justice class. And I haven't, I fought one of my friends like 8 times because he just liked to talk stuff to me. I don't be folding.
Ain't no against him.
Y'all just really what's your record?
Hey, you know, I haven't lost a street fight. I've only lost one fight. Not like a street fight. It was against my older brother.
Okay.
And it was on Halloween. He just turned around and started jacking me in the back of the car. And I just took that as an L.
Yeah. There you go.
There's no time to come back.
A big bro L is bound to happen.
Yeah.
Facts.
That's awesome. He bothered me. Yeah, so when, you know, Jacob asked you if you wanted to fight, and you were like, I mean, yeah, let's do it, and then you just immediately went to work. Was your first fight was at 155, right? You never...
No, it was 170.
170. And so was that kind of like the goal? Like you were like, hey, I know I kind of got to get the weight down, or was it just naturally just from being in
there?
It was
a whole fight. The second fight I had, I was like, yeah, that dude was kind of gigantic. I'm not going to go through that one more.
Cole was 170?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if he came in at 170 the day. Next day, he was like 205.
He looked a lot bigger.
He was thick. Yeah. I was like... Yeah. I still weigh about 175, whatever. Yeah. So I was like, I weighed in at that fight 164.
Yeah.
So I was almost to like 155.
Oh, so you were under the 170.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And Jacob was like, you might as well go ahead.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I ain't never been 155 since middle school, so might as well.
Yeah.
Right. It works better for your height, too. I mean,
for sure.
At 170, you're going to see a lot of guys with a lot of reach.
Yeah. So my first fight at 155. I noticed I was a whole lot stronger than the dude. Like, well, he turned around after like the first punch.
Yeah.
And then my last fight, the fourth fight, I noticed he was a lot taller than I was.
Yeah.
But like once I grabbed him, like, bro, this is a whole different type of strength compared to like what it was at 70, because they were tall and strong. Right. If I grabbed him, he was like,
yeah.
It's was like that little the kid brother. Where you just straight up tackled him.
Yeah.
Like, just put him in, put him against
to the cage.
Thing.
Yeah. Just. Yeah,
that was beautiful.
Yeah,
that was awesome. So you started training, because I remember like that first day I had. Well, you went with Schaefer first, and like everybody's like, or Kier starts laughing, and like you're like, he just tapped him out or something like that. Like just
did he armbar him?
Yeah, something. I don't know. Well, then I wasn't really paying attention. Like I didn't even know who you were, and so Kier comes over. He's like, hey Nate, go with Fox. You know, he's just another big guy. I'm like, okay, cool. So, like, I think before you were like, hey, man, just be easy on me. Like, I'm new. I'm like, you know, you're good, bro. You're good. I didn't even know you wrestled.
Yeah.
So, like, we start going, and instantly I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, somebody's
got
a camp
set up.
So, next thing I know, I'm in, like, a full, like, chicken wing, like, in 2 minutes.
Probably
like,
got you in, like, a quarter.
Oh, so. Bro, just, like, all over me. And I'm like you. I'm like, who is this kid, bro? Like, what is? And then Kier's like, yeah, he's just a big, strong dude, man. Just a wrestler. You know, I'm just like, well,
okay. Maybe lead with that.
Could have approached the role first. A little different.
Yeah. So how many years did you wrestle?
I've wrestled since I was, well, I started in fifth grade at McConaughey for like 2 weeks, and I moved to Kokomo, and then I started in sixth grade. So I wrestled since I was fifth grade, but so that's probably about 12 years now, 13.
Wow. Nice.
So
that's 12 years wrestling.
Yeah. And are you still involved with the Kokomo program? Like, do you help
just
out?
Like a little bit,
just kind of go help out every once in a while. And did you, like, how far did you ever make it in high school? Like, did you ever get to state or semi-state?
No, I went to semi-state 3 times. I wrestled in the state tournament 3 times. So every time I went, I was in the finals for sectionals and regionals. And I always had not really like a tough draw at semi-state. Yeah. And I just, like, kind of my nerves got to me. I messed up.
Yeah. Semi-state's where it starts to get real.
Yeah, you're in like a very cold ice hockey stadium.
Oh, because they do it at the Fort Wayne. They do it up in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, the Coliseum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm. So you're sitting in this big environment, and I'm not used to that. I wasn't used to it, but now I am.
Yeah, that would be tough.
It was tough. Like, how your nerves get to you. You react different.
How do you think you do it this weight? if you wrestled, if you were like smaller?
That's a good question.
Because I mean, when you talk about heavyweights and stuff, there's a lot of guys who dominate.
Right.
Because I wrestled 220 in high school. I was wrestling the bigger guys.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I remember.
It's a whole different type of wrestling. Yeah. You go from like 182 down. Yeah. Those guys move a lot faster. You're doing flips, like rolls. It's a whole different type of wrestling.
Dude. Yeah, that would be interesting. Like now, because what is it? You would be like, is it 154?
152.
52. Yeah. Man, that'd be interesting.
It'd be very interesting.
That'd be really interesting.
A lot of fast movement.
Yeah. So when was your, so you started training, your first fight was about a year, right?
No, it was about 6 months, 7 months.
Six, 7 months. Wow.
Did you do a tournament before you did a fight?
Yeah. I did like two tournaments, I believe.
Do you feel like that kind of got like helped you? Cause so when you graduated high school, did you wrestle in college? Like, did you get any scholarships?
No, I got some offers, but I declined it to go to a Bible college.
Oh, so what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you get offers from? Do you remember?
Indiana Tech, Adrian. I couldn't remember all of them, but that's some of them.
Okay.
Those are the two I went to visit.
So
Indiana Tech was like the biggest one I was going
to
go to.
Yeah. So you went from, you know, from high school to your first jiu-jitsu tournament without doing really any competing. So do you think that kind of helped you get ready for that first fight, doing those tournaments
for sure.
Just kind of get back in it a little bit?
And there were some pretty big tournaments. I think I did one at the Arnold Classic, and that was like I did 10 matches, and we spent like 2 hours, like back to back to back to back. And I was like, hey, this stuff is different.
Oh, is that the one where you're like you messed your arms up or something? Like you couldn't?
No. That was, me and Savannah went there by ourselves.
Okay.
And actually, I think I did mess up something.
Seems like you just from doing so many, your forearms got messed up or cramped.
I had to, because I didn't finish all my matches because I still had more matches than no-gi.
Yeah.
But I did so many in gi, I was like, yeah, I can't continue no more. Yeah. So my arms messed up.
Like you couldn't close your hand, lactic acid build up.
It's the worst.
I tried one no-gi match and the dude like just absolutely dominated me. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go out like this.
That sucks too, because like if it would have been no-gi first, that would have been.
And that's my style.
You burned him out on gi.
Yeah. Trying to fight for the championship.
I was just telling him because he was saying his arms and forearms. I was like, man, I remember when I started, like one night I was sitting there, it was on the main street, and like my hands were literally in a claw like that. Like I couldn't open my fingers. My forearms were like so cramped. It was like crazy.
It's a different type of strength. And
ribs sucks.
That stuff sucks. Yeah. And it takes like muscles and your recovery for it. It's harder to do and longer because those type of muscles you don't use that often.
Did you have that experience ever? Because there was a few times in high school like where you have wrestling tournaments. Did you ever have that experience where you come off the mat and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I can go again? Or was it just totally different when you got to jiu-jitsu?
No, there were some tournaments. I remember one tournament in, where was it? I think at Logan Sport, Lafayette. It was a big tournament. And I was going against a kid at Kankakee Valley. And I remember, like, just grabbing, and I couldn't feel my arm the rest of the match. It was my first match, so it's usually when I'm coming in cold, and my arms aren't ready for, like, the type of, like, pulling, and you have to stress. I couldn't feel my arm halfway through the match.
Jeez.
I really thought I was going to be able to compete the rest of the tournament, but I didn't.
Yeah. Anyways. So you get to your first fight, and who was that against? I don't remember. Trevor Sparks. I think, yeah, I do remember that fight. So it's just kind of... Going back to, let's say, like, my mic went out. Let's go back to the day of the fight. Like, what do you remember, like, being in the back or, like, maybe, like, when they were like, hey, you're on deck. Like, what was that, those nerves like? Or, like, take us back to that where you were at mentally.
That's one of the hardest things to describe, too, because it's like you could feel the butterflies in your stomach, but it's like an intense butterfly. You have to take, like, a big boo-boo. And you're just sitting there holding it in. I'm just like, I already used the restroom before.
Yeah.
But my stomach hurts. You can't really eat anything like the day of because you're already nervous and stuff. And I ate something that day. I'm just sitting like, oh, I might have to use the restroom. It hits me the wrong way. I'm going to have to go boo-boo on myself out there in front of all these people and stuff. And then, like, walking out to the cage, you can feel everybody looking at you. And just like... It's like little needles are stabbing you. It doesn't hurt, but you can feel everything.
Just the adrenaline.
But then when you get in the cage, everything was cool, and the dude hit me. Yeah. No, he actually, I don't even think he landed a punch that fight. It was, I don't even know. I can't really remember.
So everything you think, like, once you're in there, and then, like, you take that first hit, or you guys have that first, like, coming together, then it's like everything just goes out, and you're...
It's really like I'm nervous until he says, "Fighter, are you ready?" I look at him and I'm like, "I guess so. I'm already in here. I can't go out nowhere else."
Yeah, I wonder if that's just like that kind of like that fight or flight where it's just like
it's time to get it. Let's get it.
You gotta flick a switch.
Yeah,
because I mean, we've heard like you know, we talked to like Alex and stuff. He didn't really get into like ready to fight till he got hit. And he was like, all right, wait a minute. Now yeah. I'm going to fight. So then you jump into it. So I could imagine that being, because like with us having performed before, having everybody looking at you, waiting on you.
Yeah.
You know, you see your family. I know that feeling.
And you can hear everybody too. I heard somebody yeah. say like, Cole, I'll beat you one fight. I was like, bro, I beat him though. I won the fight.
yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking about that when I'm finna go fight this other kid. And it's like, oh, okay, I can yeah. hear everything else.
So what is that like? And then what about like the pressure of knowing that, like, you know, your teammates are there, your coaches, your family, your friends, like, do you feel any added pressure to that? Like, or do you just like, I don't even care. It's not, you
guys, that, like, I mean, really boosts me more.
Oh, so it gives you, like, that's like, good.
They're all here. I can't fail in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys weren't there, I was like, nobody that I know is watching me. I can mess up here.
yeah, it's like the gym or something.
Slacking.
Yeah. That's
facts.
Good. Yeah. Cause I've always thought like, you know, like there's probably two types of thought where it's like, I probably don't want anybody here to see this. Or like, you know, when, like in your case, like, I mean, we all know, cause we've seen you, is like when you do the work, I think you want people to like just come see you. Cause yeah. you know, you know, what's about to happen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you win your first fight, you know, you win your next two. So what, like out of all four of your fights so far, like what is your favorite fight or moment to date?
That's hard. I think I did the best in my fourth fight, my last fight, mm-hmm, just because mm-hmm. I got my hands up a lot better.
Yeah.
But I think my second fight is my favorite fight because I actually made it out of the first round.
Is that the
one I got dropped three times yeah. in the first?
I think
three?
That.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just watched that fight.
I did too. Yeah.
That fight was exciting.
I remember that night we were like texting, like watching the stream, and it was just like, so nervous, like yeah. oh no
yeah,
because I mean, you know, the cool thing about us is being involved in your training camp is like training with you and stuff. You get a different level of involvement in
facts,
and you feel like, we used to talk about it with Damien, but when it's somebody you know or you train with and whatever, you kind of feel that same angst when especially when fights get in like weird positions, you clench
yeah.
up.
yeah,
it's crazy.
So a lot of people will say, like, people that compete will say they get more nervous watching their partners compete than they do themselves. And I think, like, watching you compete, that's another one of those things. So I was there live when that happened, when you got dropped. I can't think of another time where I was more, I don't even like the word, like, edgy or yeah. like nervous. Like, you got dropped and I was just like, oh my God. Like, but then that second, I think it was the second time you just landed straight into a double.
Yeah.
And it was just,
oh,
like,
that was my third time. He dropped me the first time. It was against the cage. I don't know why. Like, that whole fight, I dropped my hands the whole entire fight. Yeah. It was kind of like the street fight. You just try to do the movements and stuff, jackbacks and stuff like that. And then he caught me against the cage. I didn't have my hands up. He caught me and I dropped. I caught myself like this, came back up. And then I had him against the cage. And he just, like, he didn't even look at me, too. This is the thing. He didn't look up. He ducked his head, threw an overhand, and it landed on my chin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I just dropped. And I spun. I was kind of like, I wasn't wobbling. I was like, man, why did I fall? I just got back up. And I was backing up. And then he hit me again. And I dropped. And I did like a spin. As like he hit me, I went with it.
Yeah.
Spun into the cage and got like a double leg. And that just like saved me the whole entire round. Yeah, I mean,
it was, could not have been more perfect. Like, the timing of that double leg was just immediate. Like, as soon as he landed that other punch.
Yeah.
It was instinct, really. I didn't even know it was happening. Okay, we're here. Let's go.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to know. Because like, that for me is like, probably my favorite fight of yours, just because, like, overcoming that, I mean, three times in one round getting, I mean, that was, it was honestly probably like a 10-8 round, you know, I mean, you definitely had some good offense in that fight, but.
I took him down in the first, I think 30 seconds,
yeah.
and then he got back up. This dude was strong.
He was a lot bigger,
he was just like,
man,
benching me off. I was like, bro, I'm not even going to hold him down here.
I was, that's forget what, this. I, well, because I didn't know that it wasn't at 55 until you had just said, and I'm like, he had sent it today, and I'm like watching it again, and I'm like, how did this dude make 55?
Yeah, that makes so much more sense. I'm like, why is he so much bigger than him? Yeah. Like, I know Fox isn't that small.
Jesus, no way. But that's, I was just kind of rewatching it. I was just kind of curious, like, man, where was your head and all that? Because it was it that, like you said, was it like, okay, how'd I get here? Like, what's happening?
I was, or did you just go ahead? My bad.
No,
I was
good.
Just confused why I dropped. I was like, bro, he didn't really hit me that hard. It didn't feel like he
didn't
hit me
feel
that
any
hard.
Pain or
it didn't. It was no pain at all. Yeah. I just dropped.
Yeah.
Got back up. It's like you fell asleep for a slight second. You're back.
Yeah.
Back. It's like, oh, it's not.
And then did you just like, were you like in yourself, were you like, all right, just get back to what I know? Or was, like you said, was it just natural instincts, like get back to your wrestling? And
it was natural. A lot of my fighting, I think about combos a little bit, but most of my fighting is just natural. I try to just like see openings in my head and like, okay, if that's there, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't really think about, okay, let's set this 1-2 up, do this and that. It's just going to come to me automatically because I already know what to do. My body knows what to do. My mind's going to do it too.
Right.
So that was the first round you got dropped, right?
Yeah.
So you made it to the corner. What was that like in the corner?
Oh, one of my goals was to get to the stool. I wanted to feel like what it was like to sit down on the stool in a cage. So I was just more looking forward to that. I was like, okay, we finally made it the first time. I don't tap going out because that's one of my like switches too.
Yeah.
I don't like to tap because, okay, we're cool if I tap up with you.
Right.
I'm finna fight you, so I don't really want to tap after. If you make it out of the first, you already said you're like worthy of fighting me. So I'm going to go ahead and tap up. And we're cool.
I get it.
And I tapped up with him. I mean, that was good. And I sat down. And I'm bleeding a little bit, and Jacob, like, gets blood in my water. Well, I get blood in my water, but he's pouring it, so it's his fault. Yeah. I still had to drink bloody water the whole entire time. I was like, oh, give me some water, though, because my mouth is dry, because my mouth gets dry, like, automatically. When you're walking out, your mouth is dry.
Yeah.
So he says, give me a little sip here and now. Give me a sip now. Give me a sip now. But everything was cool, and then the doctor stuck this thing up my nose. Ooh. He stuck it like far up there too. And I was like, bro, that's hurt more than the punches did, bro. You're hurting me.
Like you're getting a COVID test.
Yeah. COVID test.
But after that, everything was just cool.
Yeah. So was there any, I don't know if this probably hard to remember, but was there any like advice? Like what was the energy like in the corner after a round like that where you got dropped?
I keep your hands up. Yeah. I still didn't do it. I don't know why. I tried in my house. I keep them up and I kept like doing like the running man with my hands. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, I didn't get dropped after that.
No. It was just the first.
Did you feel? Did you feel tired? Getting, probably because your nose was probably weren't breathing very well.
And that's when like I was running a lot still.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like in fight like ready shape. I couldn't use my arms and punch as much because I wouldn't do much as boxing workouts I have right now.
Right.
And like getting used to throwing punches that much, my arms were just really heavy, and it felt like my punches didn't have anything behind them.
Yeah. So when you're when you're fighting, kind of like kind of off of what Brandon said, like how much are you taking or listening, or can you even hear Jacob? Or are you like, do you listen to him? Or are you able to respond?
I can hear him 100%, and I can hear like,
oh, he was VIP. Going nuts in that fight.
Bro, I watch it too. I went back and watched it. It was like, no. I was like, I got this. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. And then you see my family behind them. You can hear the VIP tables.
Yeah, they were going nuts.
You can hear those people talk too. So I'm hearing what his coaches say. I'm hearing what my coaches say. And I try to stay towards Jacob, and I try to like get their backs towards Jacob. So I always try to get them backing up towards him, so I have him to listen to the whole entire time.
Yeah, I always think like when I watch fights or like you know like that, like getting dropped and everybody going, oh, like how much like psychologically like as a fighter, do you even hear that? And then you're just like, oh god, this isn't good. That was not for me.
That second fight, when they dropped me, I was like, oh, my friend's about to talk stuff now. That's the first thought because I know they're there too, and I know my friends got scared, and I got the videos of it to their reactions. Like, whoa.
Oh, dude.
And I can hear them. I can see it. And I was like, yeah, people are going to be disappointed. Yeah. I was like, I can't lose in front of the Kokomo crowd either. Yeah, this is my people. Tough. I can't lose.
Yeah.
So I just like, let's run it.
Yeah. I remember.
Was that fight, would you say that's probably one of the biggest turnouts you've had for everybody showing up, like that fight?
Ooh.
Because there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
That, with the Ben Don't Break shirts on.
Yeah. And that was my first. No, that was. Did I make the shirt the first?
I want to say it was that fight.
I think you did do some the first, I don't think you did a lot of them.
Yeah, it seems like.
Taking Souls. Yeah, I did Taking Souls the first fight, and then Ben Don't Break the second.
Yeah, because one of them, they sold out before. I know, like, they were gone quick.
That was the Ben Don't Break.
Yeah, we didn't even get to get one. I was like,
that bad boy sold out fast.
Yeah.
It was that fight, actually. You were correct.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know, like, we were watching that fight today, and we were talking about it, and I'm like, man, like, there's just so many questions I had about that, because it is kind of crazy.
It was intense. It was an intense fight.
Did you have any, like, fighters that you liked watching growing up?
I don't really actually watch fighting, like, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, like, I don't really watch sports that much, but I do like sports. I have, like, certain people I like. GSP I like. Mm-hmm. John Jones, obviously, because he did it, like, He went from wrestling in college, found out he was going to have a kid, then to straight being one of the best in literally months. So you can't not like him.
I think 6 months. It was six months. He was like, went to his first fight.
And he went against some of the toughest opponents at that weight class, too. Well, that was the
Brandon thinks it was a retirement division, but
definitely turned into one.
It did. Give me some nuts right there, Fox.
That was a bad weight. That was the biggest. That's the 155 as right now.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
Wait, what'd you say? Say that one more time.
That is the 155 right now.
Was the 205 back then.
Was the 205 back then.
I think I'm almost okay with that, given that I'm a Habib fan.
That's really what it is.
So they're equal, right?
Yeah. He's just a big old Habib fan. So
can't you be? He's a beast.
Oh, dude, he's so dominant. Good, man. It's crazy. He just retired. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so
I was hoping he'd fight GSP. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Your last fight, you pulled the Habib move. You hit the Dagestani handcuff.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I was watching that too, and I was like, oh, look at him. So I wondered, like, is that something, obviously that's a pretty typical wrestling move. Is that something that you just already had ingrained, or do you ever pull things, like if you do watch MMA on TV, like, oh, that's really nice. You know, I need to start incorporating that. Like, how much of that goes into what you do?
I got the thigh punch from one of the fights. I think it was an Ultimate Fighter, and they had him up against the cage, and he would punch like a Charlie horse. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start doing that more often.
Yeah.
And then there's some stuff I add in from like I watch, and then I don't know. Jacob taught me that though. Like we went over that like the wall work. That was a lot of the stuff pulling in. That's we did a lot of wall work for that fight.
Yeah.
Man, I just like I remember like in all honesty when you first came in, it was before your first fight. Isaiah came in, which I mean, I understand Isaiah makes a lot of people look really bad when they're sparring, but like you were sparring with our Isaiah and like me and John were like, "Man, I don't know." Like, you know, he was just
dropping your hands. He was just in there getting off
on you. Yeah. He was just in there getting off on you and we're like, "You know, like we understand the wrestling aspect, but it was like, "Whoo, that's going to be a tough one." You know, but it's Isaiah, we understand. But like your striking now is like, I mean, how much cuz I mean, from when I first had seen it back then to now is like just night and day how good your striking has gotten. And is that just like a testament to just like coaching or just you really investing that time into like, all right, let's get these hands going. Cause you know, you got the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's facts. Cause that's one thing I suck at is my hands. I'm a little bit slower. One thing Chris Lytle said after my second fight, he said, I dropped my hands a lot and I was slow with my punches.
Okay.
So that's one thing I was trying to pick up a lot more. Yeah. On, but I would say coaching really because Rich Borov was doing lots of mitts, and I feel like that helped me get my actual getting the muscles in my shoulders ready for the punches and getting proper form, and then watching YouTube too really helped.
Yeah,
like my footwork that was really the difference.
Yeah, because it's man, you've just come such a long way there. Like, because I do remember that night, it was like you said, you hadn't even fought. I mean, you hadn't even really been training, but you had your fight scheduled, and we're like, man, like, fuck. I mean, you're not gonna always run into like an Isaiah, you know, like,
fact.
But it still was just like, just more of a testament to like once again just how hard you work and recognizing certain things that like, oh, okay, I got to get better here, and just going like you're just. Go. It's pretty cool to see.
How important is sparring for you? Do you think it's something that's... Because you see fighters now come out and they don't... At least they say they don't spar. And obviously you do take damage with that. But also you get reps of kind of more live.
I feel like sparring is a big... I like sparring a lot. I actually told my little brother today I need to pick up more like MMA sparring. Just so I can get used to like... So it comes more of like a practice thing when I go in there.
Yeah.
So I get used to the small gloves, wrestling with punches and stuff like that. Because when you go in there, I don't want that to be my first experience doing it this fight camp. I don't want to get hit for the first time, especially because I get hit a lot because I suck at head movements. I still working on that.
Got to get with Kai on them noodles,
but I take
dog.
Them bad boys.
Yeah. What about jiu-jitsu with the gloves on? Because it's like I've done MMA rounds, and like even like a simple Kimura with those gloves on are harder. But have you found like when in the fight, like do you think that's something you could do is start doing more grappling with the gloves on, or do you?
Jacob actually said something about grappling more next week with the gloves on, so we can get the practice of it.
Yeah,
but grappling with it is totally different, and you got the big tape on your hands too, so it's like you have a bar in there to grab onto, but you have these fat gloves, it's hard to close already, so you're sitting here trying to like work everything at the same time, and it's hard. Yeah. I feel like it's hard, but I can't wait to get to like the smaller pro gloves, so yeah. it's easier to move yeah, around a little
the
bit.
The amateur gloves are they? They're not.
I think they're.
Are they eight or?
I think 10? They're 8 ounces.
Yeah, because they are a lot thicker.
Some bad boys are thick and they're hard to screen, like move.
Yeah, that's a big thing in the UFC right now. They're talking about the gloves. Do Coliseum comp? Do they kind of close your hand or are your? Do
they close them? I believe.
Or like, do they? So they hold your hand in a more down or your mm-hmm. hands like stuck like that
downward.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because there's a lot of eye. That is true. Like, you don't really see me. I feel like I don't see eye pokes at, like, Coliseum events and stuff, if you think about
no,
it.
No.
Not
those,
really.
Those gloves are noticeably. Well, even pro, though, I don't think we see a lot of eye pokes. No. But do they use. What kind of gloves do they use in pro? Do we know?
I think it's the same ones. They're just a little bit smaller.
Same brand.
And it? They don't have a thumb. I don't know. Some of them, I think the last fight was the first time without the thumb in them, too.
Oh, there's usually pros. A thumb?
Some pro gloves have. Thumbs, I believe.
I'd imagine Reebok probably would have done the gloves for
yeah, I don't know.
UFC.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know.
So they use Rev Gear, I believe. Is
Rev
that right?
Gear. Oh, Rev Gear. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe that's just a testament to the glove that you guys use. It just has a different structure.
Yeah.
Or maybe just the bigger yeah. glove and all that tape, you can't
pull them back.
You know, you don't have as much.
So you brought up pro. That kind of gives a little segue there. Do you have thoughts on, like, wanting to go pro? When?
I wanted to go pro at the end of the year my birthday in December.
Ooh.
But I wanted to get 5 fights in this year, and that might be a little bit shy. So I'm trying to get this fight in, and then I want to get in the Kansas card, too.
So I seen you put the eye emoji on the Kansas card announcement.
Who doesn't want to go to Kansas? I'm trying to get the barbecue, too.
After your, maybe it was your third fight, or maybe after the fourth, and talking to you in the gym, you were big on trying to get down to like Louisville and
that whole thing. I do remember that. Yeah, because that was before COVID. You wanted to do that Fifth Street outdoor one or something?
Yeah, they had for the like all the champions for B2 Digital or whatever, they had a ranking system, and they had one person be like the crown of all of them.
Yeah.
And that's what really that I was pushing dope. For. But I was ranked third on that, and then they took down the amateur rankings after I think a week.
Yeah.
But I was third on that, so I was trying to get down there for that. But
so the Coliseum 155 belt's a little tied up,
unfortunately,
by some guy that I mean you may or may not know, Kyle Thomason. So what do you think? Like, you know, is it maybe trying to go to Hard Rock and maybe try to get theirs or another like regional promotion? Because I'm sure that's before you go pro. Is a title even an amateur title?
Facts,
something you
that's
ever
what
want?
I want.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that's one we're trying to get. But I don't think like Jake. I told Jacob to text him. And he didn't really get much word back from them or something. I don't know. They were working something out.
Yeah.
But that's where I really want to go get a couple belts. I want to try to get all of them before I go. So the next couple fights will be title shots. But I think Hard Rock did say I needed one more fight to shoot fight for the title.
Mm-hmm. What about 45? Could you think you could do it?
That's what Kyle wants me to do.
Yeah, he probably does.
Well, the good thing about B2 is they're connected to so many different regions that, and then traveling isn't a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, you get different crowds. Different looks because, you know, certain regions will probably fight similar. Mm-hmm. You might have heavy boxing in an area or whatever. Gives a chance to test you.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you go up further and pro, and even if you have the dream of wanting to get to big promotions, everything's on the road.
Yeah.
You're in Vegas. You're in another
different
country.
Places all the time. So fighting at different times.
You see it all the time.
Yeah.
The guys from here, you know, they might get a shot. And it doesn't quite look the same.
Right.
And sometimes it is the big lights, how you said you dealt with wrestling. But other times it might not just be being used to traveling.
Right. Different time zones, like you said. That's a good point. Yeah. And so, but the 45 thing, no. You saying?
I don't want to, but I think it might be good. Like when I go like too professional,
pro, yeah,
but not right now,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's
155 is cool,
and it's cool because, like, why you know, like you're not killing your body to get down to the weight at amateur, you know, and you're just getting fights too.
One of the a recent fight, I don't remember who the commentator was, it might have been Michael Bisping, was talking about when you're on the amateur scene, you just need to get fights,
yeah,
and that's really what that comes down to because once you go pro, that's when your record and everything really matters. And so that's when you know, if you're really thinking about 45, you know, that would make sense. But like as an amateur, one of the things he was saying was just take your time there to get as many fights as you can, get that experience and sort of go from there.
That's why I was trying to push for like my opponents. I want like the better people because the more fights I get, it takes like more in my career, I don't want to end up getting like 80 fights as an amateur and then not go professional until like my 81st. Oh, I'm ready now.
Well, you also don't want to do 85 fights against guys who aren't as good or might have, you know, not necessarily record because you might run into a guy who's fought 30 times, but that's 30 fights worth of experience. Mm-hmm. So there's that, but you also want to make sure you're getting taking high challenging quality. Yourself. Yeah.
When I've watched, you know, any Coliseum combat event I go to, I think to me there's a noticeable difference in a pro fight versus an amateur fight.
Yeah. Just
with movement, speed,
you can tell that, yeah.
Everything. You can just kind of tell. It's like when you watch wrestlers and it's like you go to a regular local match watching guys warm up, and then you go to, like, you know, a state tournament, a semi-state, and you see those guys, how they wrestle. It's pretty different.
Fact.
There's levels.
I feel like amateur fighting is like when you're going into your first year as a panty. You got to learn how to do a lot of the other stuff. You're still learning, like, how do you hold the utensil correctly. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the pros just paint a picture. You're sitting back here, and you just sit here and watch the masterpiece be painted because you're doing everything properly, everything set up. It's like they got the takedown, they got the jiu-jitsu, they got the striking. Everything is just beautiful, and the amateurs are just finding everything. They got some beautiful points right here, but I still need to work on how to, like, erase the shading parts in this area of the picture.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In amateur, you see a lot more like guys getting hit and kind of just cover up, and you keep hitting them in the arm, and then they call it.
Yeah.
Pro, you see more kind of like, just drawn out fights. You got to really put somebody away.
I think it's always weird. I like from just kind of being around the like watching locals. Like you see guys, and like you'll get guys that are like have phenomenal amateur careers and then go pro, and then it just doesn't really work out. Like it's like, man, what? Like where was that discrepancy? Or then you see guys that, you know, maybe had decent amateur records and then they go pro and then they go 2-0 like in their first. I mean, it's just so weird. Like I don't know what that is, but you do see that different.
That's why I think you should challenge yourself. And if you see a fight that like this could be a hard one because this guy maybe wrestles as good as me or he has better hands, like especially on an amateur level, take those chances because you got as you go higher, you're gonna keep on. You want a belt. You talk about complete fighters. The guys who have belts are the ones who can do everything you can
all
do
around.
Training just as hard, you know, cardio, all these things.
And I know who was the guy that you were going to fight before COVID?
Jaron Burroughs.
So he's really good. Like he was, I know he was going to be your toughest fight.
Yeah. Is for stand up wise. Yeah. That was going
to
be great.
Is that one that you're still wanting to get?
Yeah. Facts. Cause he is a really good stand up. My friend was really mad about his record because I want to fight people that's like, you know, top quality people. Yeah, yeah. And I think he has like a 4-2 loss or 4-3 or something like that. And so it doesn't look good on my record fighting those type of people.
Right.
So my friend was like, bro, you need to fight people who's like 5-1 or title shot. He was pushing for me. But I want like, you know, test me in areas I suck at.
Styles, you're
better at me stand up. That's what I want to get better at. Come fight me so I get better. I'm still going to take you down. But I'm going to stand up with you for a little bit, test my skills, work it.
I remember you were really pumped for that fight.
Yeah. That's a good mindset to have, too, though, because you do have some guys who are like, no, I don't want to fight this wrestler, dude. I want to keep padding up these wins. But, you know, and even with this guy being 4-3, that means he's fought some people who were a challenge.
Yeah,
you know,
that
at
were
the
tough.
End of the day. Because, I mean, anybody who fights is a tough guy, you know, all hats
most
off
of the
to
time.
You.
Most of the time.
Well, I'm just saying, if you get into a cage and sign up for somebody to punch you in the face, and you can't get out until the time's up.
Right.
I mean, you can try to jump over the cage, I guess. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, dude, UFC 1, right?
That's right, true, yeah. But, I think that challenging yourself is the best way to look at it, because at the end of the day, you want to try to not lose, but it's kind of like with jiu-jitsu, is if you do lose, you're learning. Mm-hmm. And as an amateur, you need to learn more than, because you don't want to learn on the fly as a pro.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about rule sets too, like having elbows and knees. And
yeah, I bet you're. Are you excited for that to go pro and be able to?
I can't wait to elbow
somebody.
I was gonna say, like, even the fights that you have had, and you watch those, so you can just see, like, oh, dude, if he could drop elbows right now,
knees. I feel like I'm more dangerous when I can use my whole body. That's why I never go in. Like, I would do boxing, just to test it out for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I need my whole body to use. Yeah. That's when I'm most dangerous. I can do a lot of crazy stuff with it.
Oh yeah, dude. Like when you can start doing. I mean, even that, was it Cole Allen? Was that his name? I mean, even that fight, when right before the finish, I mean, you had him, you were on top of him. I mean, if you could have landed some elbows,
it would have been over. But he was covered up pretty bad. Actually, a lot of my opponents have been covered up.
I think Michigan.
All of them have, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You just
covered up.
Michigan
bad.
Amateur elbows are illegal.
I think they are in Michigan.
We were supposed to have a fight in Michigan, and then they canceled the Coliseum Combat out there.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
I was hoping for that.
So that would have been an opportunity to use elbows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but because are they not sanctioned? Is that what it is?
I don't think
it's just
they
a
are.
Different.
Or something.
I think it's
maybe
a different sanction.
Rule sets or something. Okay.
It's kind of like how when UFC goes to other states and they don't have the new rule set with the hands being.
Like the unified rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes you just have those different types of.
Just different. rule mm-hmm. sets. So now you got this guy. What was his name again that you're fighting?
Joshua Clark.
Joshua Clark. So have you watched, like, footage or anything on him?
There's literally no footage really? I can find him, yeah. So
has he just never fought around here? Or?
I think he's fought at one program. I got the name of it, but they don't really have any videos can watch.
It's 2021.
Come I on. Know. That's why I was like, can't find his fights anywhere on Tapology. He says he's 0-0. So I was like,
oh my gosh.
Where can you find this person See, at?
Yeah.
But... it is what it is. I'm just gonna do me.
I was gonna say, does that bother you at all, or is it just kind of one of those things? Like, I know what I know what I do. I'm just gonna implement.
Yeah, so yeah, that's how I am. Thing. Yeah, you gotta be able to stop me. Like you, a lot of people you can watch. You know, I'm gonna come on wrestling. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be able to stop my wrestling. That's all what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It comes down to I don't need to know what he does. I'll see when he comes in there, and I'll handle my business yeah. like mm-hmm. usual.
How much?
Keep your hands up. That's all you gotta do.
Facts. Yeah.
So. Training at Gaha, I mean, you've got, you know, Schaefer, Kyle, Kier. I mean, just, and now we've got a lot of young guys that are getting ready to start fighting. I mean, how important is it to you to have guys like that every day pushing you and to train with it? And guys that are at, you know, all, I mean, Schaefer, Kyle, two local champions, and, you know.
Kier, a pro.
Kier is a pro. He was an amateur champion. I mean, just killers.
And we got people coming in too a lot, like mm-hmm.
Isaiah.
Yeah, Lorenzo. Isaiah Lorenzo.
Yeah.
It's dope. It helps me. I feel like that was one of the bad things when I was wrestling at Kokomo, yeah. is that I was the top person. Like, well, not I was. It was four of us that were, like the better people in our class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't have anybody to train with that was messing us up. And it's not the case at Gaha. So they
have you don't want to be the best me. Guy in the room.
Yeah. It's sometimes, like, being the best guy sucks because you don't have anybody to push you or yeah. get better. And then you're always just, like, stagnant for a while until someone gets up onto your level to push you. And at Gaha, like, we have people coming in that help us get yeah. better every time. And then all of us are growing, too. So that mm-hmm. helps.
Yeah, because you cross-train a lot. Like, you go, like, are you going to Fisher's?
Tomorrow? I don't know. I got church.
But yeah, but you do. I mean, you do.
A decent
and
amount,
you even
yes.
travel. I mean, I know you guys go to Indy a lot. And, I mean, just to try to get different looks. Is that something, like, you know, do you feel when you're going in cross-training, is that really important for you to get different looks yeah, and stuff like
because
that?
Because, like, especially right now, I really want to get up to where Isaiah's training at, ATT.
Yeah.
And stuff there. Because there's a lot of different stand-up looks and yeah. grappling looks. All that helps with the fights because it's like you never know what you're coming into. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. what this guy's coming. I know he does Taekwondo. So, like, Lorenzo is a great type of person to be training yeah. with.
He's so good.
So, man. There's a different type of looks I want to get too. And it yeah. helps me improve my game. Oh, mm-hmm. this guy's good at this. Let me try this.
And as you train with the same people, they know your tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So, they know, oh, he likes to do this here. So, they're out the way. But a guy who doesn't know might get clobbered with it.
Or yeah.
You might be like, oh, this is really effective. These guys just
this
know
is where
throw
you go
it
test your new moves.
Yeah. yeah. Right. Go ahead.
No, this is completely off. This is a question I should say to the end because it's totally off the wall.
Oh, okay. Do you have like any like rituals or like a thing you try to do before fights?
Yeah, facts, 100%. Well, I always pray before, like when I obviously go out, I pray. Mm-hmm. And then my family, we all go out for like a morning breakfast, either nice. At Cracker Barrel on Saturday or we'll cook dinner or breakfast at home. Mm-hmm. I sit there and just do our family time. Then I usually relax, take mm-hmm. a nap. My mom might give me a back massage or something.
Oh, man.
And then geez. Get ready to get it.
I need my mom to step it.
Oh, she usually asks me, do you think you need your back massage?
Oh, man.
Mom, backside.
That'd be amazing.
How big are you on, like, your entrance song and, like, your shorts? Or is it just kind of like, if I find something I like, I'll get it and we'll just keep it moving. I'm just ready to get in.
Ooh, I love looking up the music. And my big thing is the shorts. I love looking at mm-hmm. different type of shorts. Oh, I yeah. try to get a different type of pair of shorts every fight.
Yeah.
But I've been wanting to customize my own, but it's hard to find, like, someone who can do a customized yeah. pair of shorts. But my friends usually help me with the songs a little bit. And my dad always had recommendations. You know, like, my last song was my dad's. Recommendation. I think it was Method Man. And nice. Bring the Pain. Yeah, it was.
You can't beat that.
So nice. I was like, okay, I can mess it up. My brother wants me to do the Jimi Hendrix. I already played on the Voodoo Child. Mm-hmm. So that was hard. And then just stuff to keep me hype during yeah. the walking down because you got those nerves already messing you up. Mm-hmm. So you need something to pump.
Yeah.
You push it behind.
I always,
bit.
When I'm at the local fights, if I don't know who's fighting, I pick based on the
yeah.
song to walk out to.
He will. He'll look at me and be like, hey, he won the entrance song. I'm yeah, like, good point.
He's up already. Like, I want you to win because I want to hear it when you leave. I don't want to hear
yeah.
whatever so-and-so came out to.
If you could have one song playing in the first round, what would it be? Like, if you could have one song.
Dude, the song that gets you the hypest.
Sale. Shell's the best, like, workout. MGK? That's a good one, version of it. And I'm talking about, I don't know who does it.
AWOL Nation?
AWOL Nation, yeah.
Okay.
That is literally the best song for any type of workout for me. Because, yeah, like, we listened to it so much in wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, over the years. Like, say,
did you guys have that, like, a CD that he played every time?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We had, I think he had one for each, like, generation or career that went through.
He did. We all had a create one, too. And yeah, it's like, But Shell was always one of the songs that was always played throughout wrestling.
Yeah.
You'll hear it in dang near every wrestling room you go to. Shell!
Yeah. So, and
I know, learned to love it.
I know another thing I wanted to ask you is, like, because you're, how many weeks are you out now?
Four.
Four?
Yeah, this is the fourth one.
Time's going by so fast. I know. So does your diet change? Like, do you start, at what point do you start kind of, like, getting a diet going, or
I'm fasting right now.
You are?
Yeah, so like usually about 4 weeks, and sometimes even like this fight I've been kind of like slacking it. I've been slacking a little bit on my diet. Yeah. But usually I'm cutting more and more before probably about a month and ahead. Yeah. 2 months in ahead.
Do you water load, or do you just like just sauna fasting? Just sauna and fasting.
I do a whole lot of running.
You do a lot of treadmill, don't you?
A lot of treadmill. Like yesterday, I live over by Sycamore School. Mm-hmm. So I started off at Sycamore School and I ran actually out past here.
Okay.
All the way past towards the high school. I try to do like a big loop. And come back home, so I get like the outside and the air out there too. That's, I just love those type of runs, but more than the treadmill, because the treadmill messes up my knees.
Yeah.
But I run a lot.
Yeah.
You ever think of doing like different forms of cardio? So like one of the critiques of running, right, is obviously your knees and what kind of pain that can bring. But like doing things like, I don't know, rowing, swimming, stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, Jacob, when he was working out to get like skinnier and stuff like that, he introduced me to one thing Matt had him do, which was the row 5,000 meters.
Yeah.
So I would try to involve that like after my ab workout, like get 5,000 or do this.
I don't have abs, but like if I do,
they're under
but,
there.
But I work them, I swear. But dude, if you do abs and get on that rower, it's like crazy. Ignites them, bro. Like somebody just takes a match and lights them on fire. Go ahead, I had to cut you because I do that too sometimes.
If that's really like I sometimes have to sit down from training for because of that.
Yeah.
How much like it burns your ass from doing it. And then like I want to start swimming a lot more, but I don't have a Y membership yet, so I'm about to get that.
And do you do any other, like, outside of just training, do you do any like strength and conditioning? Like, do you go out in the gym and do any lift?
Still my question.
Oh, was it?
No, that's not for the other one, but that's one of the ones I wanted to ask.
Not actually. I used to do it a lot more when I was cutting weight from 220, but I really don't lift that much anymore.
Is that something like, you know, like when you go pro, is that something like you're going to work in more?
I actually want to start working in it now.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's just hard with my schedule too.
Yeah.
So I get lazy.
Full time as well?
Yeah, I work, I will work with Schaefer now, but I work at FedEx too.
Wow. Yeah, so that'd probably hard to fit all that stuff in, because fighting, I mean, we know how much is involved with camp and in general.
It's crazy. So, and then, like, lifting, too, causes a lot of stress on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I do CrossFit sometimes. Well, I did CrossFit with Schaefer. He gets mad because I haven't been going. But CrossFit and go straight to after practice, too.
Yeah.
And it's like you really can't find a time to be cool for practice, because I'm going to give my all at practice and be, like, ready for my legs not get tired. Like at 7 o'clock where I'm about to go do rolls.
Yeah.
I want to be ready for practice. So I just like running was the easiest way to do everything.
So you get up like what? So like your typical day. So you get up and do you go to FedEx first?
Yeah. I'll get up at 4 a.m.
And then you go to FedEx and you're there till like probably what?
8:30. Okay. 8:30.
So about 4. And then you go with Schaefer.
Yeah.
And you're putting fences up until what time?
About sometimes it depends on what all we do. Like if we just set posts, it could be at 1 or 2. Or if we're doing the whole entire fence, it's 4 or 5.
And then, you know, if it's like 1, 2, you're going home, you like nap. Probably
nap a little bit. Chin. I really can try not to nap because I get too tired before practice and I get sluggish.
Yeah. Mm. And then you just go to practice and you're there until probably like what, 7:30, 8 o'clock? Or 8:39.
Sometimes. Jesus, sometimes 9:30, depending on what I do after practice. And sometimes I go to an assignment, or sometimes like, now I'll have to start running after practice too, so I can get my cardio up for the fight. So
there it is, people.
That sucks sometimes.
I think sometimes, like, you know, and I'm guilty of it too, when you're sitting at like a Coliseum and you're just like watching fights, and it's like you don't realize every guy in there, well, maybe not every guy, but the ones that are serious like you, it's like your day starts at 4 a.m. You go to a job, you leave, you go to your next mm-hmm. job. Maybe you can get a nap in, but like you said, if you go to a four
sometimes
or five,
you
you're straight to, you know, straight yeah. to jujitsu. And then you usually do a jujitsu and then you're doing stand up afterwards, sparring. And then now you're going and running. It's like, gosh, people just, I don't think enough people realize that. Mm-hmm. Like the sacrifices, it's crazy, man.
That's one thing I do like about us training at a gym that does have fighters, because it's easy to, you know, for us to watch these UFC fights and stuff and be like, yeah. why didn't you get up?
Why are you tired? Bro, I hate that at the like Coliseum when it's like, just get up.
Yeah.
And it's like, which, dude, you have no idea.
You know, when we first started, I mean, we've been watching it for a long time, but when you first start, you're like not understanding, like, why can't you just get this guy off you? Why can't yeah. you just do this? But then training, obviously, you learn.
Yeah.
And it does suck sometimes at fights because you get around people who don't know what's going on. And they think somebody's getting beat up because they keep on hitting their arms. You're like, you're not landing any punches.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is. Facts. But it has been really cool to see and then be able to celebrate afterwards. Like, man, I can almost say I could feel like, because like you feel energy, like when you're in your hype mode and it's like, all right, everybody wants to roll and you're going to roll with everybody in there, you're just like, oh gosh, I'm going to box roll. Yeah. I was like, I just got to get on top. If I can get on top, I can rest.
Yeah.
Facts.
But
being part of that like team where you're like that team atmosphere, seeing guys, their fighters and kind of what they have to go through to get to that point where you're at a fight. Because like when you're a friend or a family member and you're watching somebody fight, like there's a different feeling there. But as a teammate, I think that's another side of that where you can see what you have to go through to get yeah. to that point and what it all means. Cause like depending on how the fight goes, you know, you're just kind of seeing that one event mm-hmm. of the fight. So it's nice to have that appreciation of seeing what you actually have to go through and do all that. So,
and I think like for us is, I mean, there's not one person that doesn't train hard that fights in our gym. And so like, you know, when you see guys lose, it's like, oh man, like, you know, actually what those guys went through
yeah.
and you like, you know, you saw the bad days. I've seen some bad days from everybody. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. it is what it is.
Some of those days suck. Like, you just feel like you're like, your arms are like, you're, like yeah. sometimes in my head's what I get the most in.
Yeah.
Because like some days if I'm sparring, like I'm not landing my punches right or I'm not throwing combos, I'll get stuck. Like sometimes I'll just throw like a one punch, like just throw a punch. I'm like, man, why aren't you throwing up with something else too? Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's like, bro, my arms are dead. And like, the days like people are just dogging you. I was like, bro, I don't like getting beat.
Yeah.
I'm just hearing getting beat up the whole entire time. I can't take that. So it's just like breaks you. But you have to come back better the next day or get better right then and there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like when Jacob was here last time, I know he talked about like different coaching styles for different guys. And like some guys you got to be nice to and some guys you got to yell at. Like, do you think you fall in? It just kind of depends on the day. Or do you like, are you somebody like, it's like,
or did wrestling condition you to be yelled at?
Nasty.
Yeah, I could do either one, but wrestling really is like, get up, I'm going.
Yeah.
Don't do it, I'll do
get
it.
The line.
Yeah. Instead of like, hey, can you please get up? I'm like, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'll work mm-hmm. for it. You yell at me, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I was just, because in that fight we were watching today, it seemed like Jacob was like trying to like he was like, duh, you know, like, duh, throw the, you know, like he was, I mean, he was like going nuts in the corner, but I didn't know if that was just kind of for you. Like you kind of want to be yelled at or something like that.
I do like
you respond. It seemed like,
bad. I do like getting yelled at.
Well, it just seems like you respond well to it too. Cause like when he was telling you to do stuff, you were obviously trying to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think I mean,
it's no different from like people who lift and need to get like slapped and,
oh, it gets you hype. Okay,
need people to like yell at you. You better get that. Blah, blah.
Do not touch me.
Some people, but like I said, then there's you. Is like, if you do that, we're not lifting anymore. Now we're fighting.
So like for me, like when I'm working out, so like a lot, like honestly, most of it's on the rower. Like I only do the rower at the end of my workouts if I just hate myself that day and just want to like kill myself.
Yeah.
And I'll be like on that rower and I'll be like, you fat piece of shit. Like I'm killing myself, but I can do that. But like if somebody was like standing over me, like get going,
do
like,
better.
I'd be like, nah, dog, we like, you gotta get away from me. I'm beating myself up in my head. So
I'm doing enough damage.
Yeah. So I want to hear this question, Brandon. Let's hear it.
Okay. So, did you see the fight? I don't remember if it was, I think it was 2 weekends ago with Petr Yan and Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question, because you have a unique perspective as a fighter, what do you think of knees to the ground, to a grounded opponent? Do you think that's something is that absolutely ridiculous? They should not be allowed? Or do you think it's like, well, what's the difference between a knee to the head on the ground versus me flying kneeing you to the face as you're taking a shot? Like, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, for me, like, okay, so I got that. I get there's rules in fighting. I think there needs to be rules. So like no eye poking, go kicking in the balls and mm-hmm. like scratching and sure. stuff like that. But I think a knee to the like a ground opponent shouldn't even be a rule because it's a fight. And like if I'm not ready for an elbow on the cage and my head's like this, I should be ready. And that's the same for like if a person's on the ground with a knee too, he should be ready for that. If you're in a fight, you should be ready at all times.
Yeah.
So I don't even think it should really be a rule, but if you know it's a rule, like that's been a rule for a while. He's a champion. He should have known not to do
that. Yeah,
like that was out of pocket.
I wouldn't contest whether or not Piotr made a good or bad decision or it was clearly a terrible one. But let's pretend for a second that rule's gone so that you're allowed to knee to the head to a ground. Do you think that changes the fight for you in a drastic way?
Oh, yeah. Because that probably made him lose his bearings quite a bit.
Yeah.
You gotta sit back and think.
Well, now you can't rest in certain areas because you could take really bad strikes.
But adding like taking like that rule away would cause a lot more damage in the UFC. It like shortened people's careers a lot more, I believe. See,
that's kind of like
that's weird.
We were talking about it a couple like when that happened, and Brandon's always like he's kind of more like knees on the ground, and I'm just like I just don't because like somebody like you know, like probably would never be legal at amateur, but like let's say you have two more fights, whatever, you go pro, and your first pro fight you go out there and like, you know, you get dropped or taken down or whatever, you find yourself in a predicament and some guy just stands over you, hands on your back, and just nails you in your face. And then, you know, to me, like people like you or people we train, I mean just fighters in general, it's like I just feel like it's so unnecessary, me personally. And I've always thought, like I was telling Brandon, is I've never walked away from a fight like, oh man, I wish that guy could have kneed him in the head there. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I love fighting and I don't think it needs it. I mean, I understand that. And I'm sure like from the fighter is like to be the one to deliver that knee would probably be amazing. But on the other side is I don't want you to take that knee though either.
Yeah.
Cause like I'd sent to him like an old, go ahead. What?
Cause you do have like, some people do have kids from go home to.
So yeah, man.
Gotta go to a job.
Yeah. That is like, fighting is a job too. So it sucks like from that end of the part. But it, I mean, I guess it is all part of the game because you can get kicked and messed up. Like, just one kick.
Yeah, so that's a
like
lot of
Christian Jones. Did you guys hear about like that was a blood clot and stuff like that?
Yeah, man, rest in peace to him, dude. That's just terrible.
That was sad to hear about.
So sad, dude. I was like, I don't even know if you knew that. So the
I knew he passed.
So I guess he had like a blood clot in his leg and just, or was it leg and then it went to his lungs?
Yeah, I think it was his legs. That's all I've heard. That like, it was from the fight he had like previously before.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100%, so don't quote me on this.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
But like he got kicked in or something and like he didn't even know about it and
Yeah, those things you don't know about it till you know. That's
terrible.
That made me think a lot too, because like someone told me that, and I was like, man, I feel like I really want to go get checked up after every fight now because I don't want that to happen to me. Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, like that's in any sport.
He was
supposed
to fight in April too.
Yeah.
Really?
Dang, man.
I mean, even in any sport, like Pacers traded for this guy, Caris LeVert.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he had a cancer on his lung. He didn't know about it.
Yeah.
He had to do the physical from the trade. He would have went through the whole season playing with it and not even knowing, and it could have just caught him. Instead, he does this. They see it. They take it out.
He kind of got lucky he was traded and had to go through like a team physical or whatever. So
I'd definitely say, definitely take care of yourself.
Times like that, when things like that happen, people that you know relatively well in past, and it's just sort of like, you know, like that, it really kind of makes me take a step back. And really think, you know, it really doesn't take much for me to pay more attention to my, you know, go get some blood work done, go get a physical, pay a little bit more attention to my diet, things like that.
Really changed me a lot too, because that's like, those my exact mind frames that came in. I gotta start caring about my body a lot more. Because I don't want that to happen to me. Yeah, you really never really know.
He's in shape. He's fighting. Oh, so it's not like he's neglecting that. But when you're taking trauma to the body, you got to watch stuff like that.
And that's kind of like getting back to the knees thing, is I had sent him the fight of the Brock Lesnar, Heath Herring. You probably you said you kind of got into it late. But like Brock Lesnar was like posting up on this dude and just like driving these crazy knees into Heath Herring. And I'm like, dude, if he would have like went to the side of Heath Herring's leg, he probably would have killed him. Like, I mean, you know, like Brock Lesnar was probably juiced up back then too, but
they all were.
I don't know. Yeah, just to me.
Do you remember Pride with the soccer kicks to people's face? They'd be going to get up, posting out, and guys would just run up and kick them dead in the face. Yeah. Like,
I don't want to drag this too far out because I will, but the knee. So, like, my two things with the knees to a ground opponent. Did you see the Corey Sandhagen, Frankie Edgar knockout?
Yeah, that was beautiful.
To me, that is no like that knockout or that type of finish, and I know what your response to this is, but that is no different than allowing a knee to the ground opponent. If I can flying knee you to the face and knock you out stone cold, that is no different than the opportunity to knee you to the ground opponent. My second thing to that, if I'm allowed to ground knee to the grounded opponent, I would think that if that becomes a rule, you'll see a big shift in what people do when they're on their knees, because guys know when they're on the knees, they're not going to get kneed in the head. But if they think that they are, you might see some more jujitsu, some guys coming back and or wrestling more, things like that.
So. That's one thing I was going to start saying, too, earlier. I forgot. Is like people can use, like John Jones uses, is not being able to get kicked in the head as a tactic. He'll walk forward with his hand on the ground.
Yeah,
he'll use that as a tactic. So maybe, I'm not saying Sterling did it on purpose, but maybe he was using it as like, okay, I'm not going to get hurt here. He can't really do that much.
I've seen people do that. I think he was just dog tired and, he kind of just sat down.
Yeah.
We talked about it, and I'd said it a couple times. All Jan had to do was like step to the side and do an uppercut, and it would have knocked him out just the same.
Oh yeah,
fast,
you know. But
that'd have been beautiful.
Yeah. But it is interesting because you know certain like when guys are in on a shot and they're taking those elbows to the temple, those could be just as bad as a 12-6. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're just changing the angle. It's still the same force. It's definitely an interesting game because
yeah, it is interesting to get like your take on it though, like as a fighter, because like. We can talk about it, but you're the one that's got to get in there, so.
I've never felt like Kira's elbowed me a couple of times and kneed me a couple of times.
Really?
Because he gets out there and does his stuff, but like he did it one time to me, and he did it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it too. He's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do it. You're an amateur. I was like, hold on, cuz, you just did it to me.
We ain't amateurs right now.
I'm getting ready. Come on.
Facts. That's worth but it. They don't like. I can't wait to not can't wait, but I want to see what it feels like so I'm prepared for it. Because, like, when I got my first leg kick, it was my fourth fight here. It was the first like, actual leg kick. I was like, ooh, that was like a different feeling, like it was a burn sensation. In it.
You want to feel one, have Kyle line you up. Because when we were doing morning classes, he would get the big, huge, thick pad, and we'd set it up, and he'd kick me, and it felt like a baseball bat. Like and he doesn't use them in his fights. I wish he would. If you're listening, please do. But it's literally like a sledgehammer just swinging out and hitting you in the leg, even through the pad.
Have you been working calf kicks? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it.
I haven't been working a lot of kicks here lately. Yeah. I've been trying to focus on my punching a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if that was something like you want to work in, because I mean,
I do want to work in after like a little bit, but I don't want to mess up my toes before the fight.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I bet with you, like since you are like a wrestler, probably that's something guys will probably start looking to hit on you too to try to slow you down a bit. So
yeah.
I'm sure that's something you got to keep your mind on too a little bit. But we're at an hour, man. I don't. Are you guys anything else for? Fox, man, we just appreciate you coming in, dude.
Thanks for having me.
We're super hyped. This isn't going to be the last time. I mean, we'll have you in again, and super super excited for this April fight, dude. I know.
So am I.
I know you're hyped for it. So tell people like where they can find you, like Instagram. Or whatever.
My Instagram is Nick Fox. Well, no, Nick Br Fox. My Twitter is Nick Fox 98, and then my Instagram is Nick Fox.
And tickets are sold out.
Yeah, right. Tickets are sold out, but we'll have I actually got a new sponsor, too. I'll tell you guys about that actually right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
absolutely. One of my sponsors, my brother's friend, just started a new T-shirt business. He got his, license for it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He called me up and said, hey, bro, what's up with your sponsors and stuff? I was like, I told him some of the stuff to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Like, some people give $125, some people get $150 for, like, your name to be on the shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, to promote you and stuff like that. And I told him that, and he's like, "Oh, I want to give you money." I was like, "Well, wait, what do you mean you want to give me money to sponsor me? Like, if you, like, because he wants to build my T-shirts and like brand it and stuff like that." I was like, "Wouldn't I be like, want you like, I want to pay you?"
Yeah,
isn't that how? I was like, "Nah, bro, I believe in you. That's why I want to give you money." And I say, like, "Oh, I like that. Just put it into T-shirt money though."
Let's go.
And then he's gonna help me get shirts ready, so I'm gonna have shirts for the fight. So it might be a little bit after the fight, but I'm gonna have places to do it.
So what's the company? Do you?
I haven't talked to him for the name of it, but I will get back with you guys.
But you'll post it on your social media and stuff too. Yep. And then do you have any other sponsors?
Houston Electric's usually one of the, and then Timeless Injections.
Yeah, Bohemian, don't they kind of help?
That's for Jacob and Gaha.
Jacobs. Okay,
yeah, they're pretty big with Gaha.
Cool. Maybe we'll get a Neon Belly.
Yeah, for real.
We got a logo ready.
We might
as well go ahead.
Neon Belly podcast.
Sound.
Well, like I said, buddy, we appreciate you, Fox. Like I said, this was, we've said from the beginning, you were one of the first ones we wanted to get on here because, I mean, you're just a beast, dude. The way you work is,
I appreciate
it's worthy of it. We'll get you in here again, buddy. I don't have anything else, though.
Get to the stream. Watch the fights.
Oh, yeah, the stream.
You can look at my Instagram bio. Once you click on mine in the bio, that the profit for the 5% or 10% for the tickets go to my even the stream, too.
Your ticket sales.
My ticket sales, and that's how we get amateurs to get paid.
There it is. Okay, so go to that and just put your name in there.
If you use one on my Instagram, it's affiliate. So, like, you can use it for any Hard Rock. Like any stream that you watch fighting,
okay,
it goes to me.
Oh, nice. Let's do that then. Yeah,
Mark told me about it, and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and sign up for that because I can get money off of people watching Hard Rock fights.
And that link is in your Instagram bio?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so go to that link, everybody. Let's get this boy some funding.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you guys later. Peace.